Today is the fifth Sunday of Easter. Our readings for today are from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10, and the Gospel of John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. The message is titled today, Believe in Jesus and His Promises. First lesson from 1 Peter chapter 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you have come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scriptures it says, See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. But those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Here ends our lesson. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own, rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. The Gospel of our Lord. The sermon is titled, Believe in Jesus and His Promises. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, come and calm our hearts during these uncertain times. Grant us confidence in your compassion and your unfailing love you have revealed to us through the Holy Scriptures. Help our souls rest with reassurances of your sovereign hand sustaining us through these days, as we have tasted the Lord is good. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How are you doing? I really mean, how are you doing these days? What are your thoughts? What are your feelings? And when those thoughts and feelings become a jumbled up mess, what do? How are you coping with these things? Where are you turning? No one expected a time such as we are living in right now. As the recommendations are changing daily, stores reopening soon, maybe, maybe not. Restaurants, maybe, hair salons, barbers. We all need a haircut in one fashion. Aren't you glad I got my haircut before the thing shut down? Do you imagine how long my hair would have been? Probably well past my shoulders if I didn't get my haircut back then. But I'm ready for one again. How about you? Do you wear a face mask? My Heather has made me and our girls personalized face masks to wear when we go out and about. But still, there's so much uncertainty. It still remains this uncertainty, fear. Fear has certainly been stirred up, and we just don't know how to respond. This day, let these words from our Lord speak. Let them speak powerfully to your soul and bring the comfort that is found in these words. For that is why these words were given. Gospel of John, chapter 14. Now, I'll begin by setting the scene to just remind you. And by setting the scene, it draws out these deep meaning of Christ speaking these words. The scene. These words are spoken on the night Jesus was to be betrayed. A night that would unleash uncertainty, much uncertainty, a lot of anxiety. Just place yourself amongst the disciples later that evening in the Garden of Gethsemane. And just place yourself there as the torchlight starts piercing the darkness of night through the bushes and the trees of the garden. You hear the noises of soldiers and temple guards coming towards you. And as you try to wipe the sleep from your eyes, you wonder what's going on. The drowsiness of the night had kept you sleeping. And now, ripe in that drowsiness, you are being confronted with Judas. Judas is leading the crowd that has the torches of soldiers and temple guards. Talk about uncertainty and anxiety sweeping into your heart as it swept into the hearts of the disciples, as Peter foolishly swings the sword, slicing off an ear. Then the scattering begins. In the darkness, get away, as Jesus is bound and dragged away. This is what is coming, and Jesus desired to give these words that would sustain them through the coming days of uncertainty, anxiety, especially as several would witness Jesus being crucified and Jesus dying. That's what's coming. The death of their beloved teacher, their master, their friend. A cruel death on the cross, and the fear of what will happen to them. With these events assuredly coming, Jesus speaks to those gathered in the upper room before they arrive. John chapter 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. First, I want to bring your attention to what Jesus is declaring here. Jesus is declaring his divinity here, plain and simple, very clearly. Perhaps you've never noticed this, but the way Jesus is speaking here, Jesus is showing, he's declaring his divine nature. Trust in God. Well, yeah, that's a good thing to do. We should be doing that, trusting in God. Then Jesus says, trust in me. Let that sink in. Trust in me. Now, this verse can be translated as, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Or another translation has it as this. Jesus said to his disciples, "Don't be worried. Have faith in God and have faith in me." This use of trust and faith and belief, I'll explain that in a moment. What I want you to pay attention to is what Jesus is asking the disciples to do. Jesus is asking you to do. With the same kind of trust, same belief, same faith you put in God, put that same kind of trust, same kind of belief, same kind of faith in Him, Jesus. Do you hear that claim of divinity? What belongs to God also belongs to Jesus. The faith, the trust, the belief that belongs to God, put it in Jesus too. In the manner you relate to God, relate to Jesus. In the exact same manner, Jesus placing himself equal with God and thus revealing he is God. Trust, believe, faith, all good and valid translations of the Greek word. You believe, you trust, you have faith too. Just a matter of the translator's preference or desired way to communicate at this moment. What I want you to see and understand that the antidote to the uncertainties of life is to trust, is to have faith, to believe. In the midst of the uncertainties of life, to trust, have faith, and believe in God and believe in Jesus. These uncertainties of life, they can't shake you from trusting and believing and having faith in Jesus. They can't shake you from God. The word troubled, translated as troubled in the Greek, it means to put into motion, to shake back and forth, to agitate. Now, I've done this. Have you ever done this? You've watched a washing machine. You sort of left the lid up as it fills up with water, and then it goes into the washing motion, and you see how things tumble around there, and that thing in the middle causes the clothes to just start swirling around and fiffling. Well, that thing in the middle, it's called an agitator. And so the washing machine going is agitating, and that agitating is just causing that water and those clothes to swirl about. It's exactly what this word trouble means. It's to agitate, to cause swirl about. And honestly, right now, it really seems the media is purposely acting as a washing machine agitator right now. It's purposely trying to stir up the anxieties. The Greek word translated as trouble, it also means to cause perplexity, stir up the emotions, just to make them all a jumbled mess. And that word most likely is a very good word to describe many who are experiencing these days, agitated, perplexed, stirred up, troubled over coronavirus, anxiety, will life get back to normal? Can life get back to normal? But I tell you, life must get back to normal, or we'll continue to live in this stirred up, agitated manner. To this, the scriptures say, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." We shout back, "But my heart is troubled. I'm an emotional wreck." Scripture stands firm and says, really listen to the scriptures, take them to heart. "Do not let your heart be troubled." Okay, I don't want a troubled heart. Show me how not to be troubled in heart. Scripture says, Jesus says, believe, trust, have faith in God. Believe, trust, have faith in Jesus. Jesus then goes on to tell us how he will go and prepare a place and will come back. Doing all of this so we can be with him. Be with him where he is. Jesus is making the way. And the making the way in these coming days of the disciples' lives, the making the way for all of us will bring anxiety. It'll bring uncertainties as Jesus is crucified, as Jesus dies. That is the way Jesus will open the way through his own suffering and death. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one, that word no one, translated from the Greek, is oudēs. Oudēs is a powerful negating conjunction. It rules out by definition. It literally shuts the door. It leaves no exceptions. There is no other way to the Father. No other way to heaven. Jesus is the only way. All other ways are categorically excluded. There can never any other time, place, no other way to the Father except through Jesus. Consider all that Jesus experienced, all the suffering as he was brutalized and beaten. If there's another way, wouldn't it be made possible? But you see, there is no other way. Jesus was brutalized, beaten, crucified, dying on the cross. His blood, the blood Jesus shed, was the redeeming price. The only way the redeeming price could be paid was on the cross. And the only one to pay it, capable of paying it, is the Son of God, who is the Christ. And he was crucified. So you see, it's not narrow-minded, it's not exclusionary to say there is no other way. It's actually telling the truth, but actually being very gracious and merciful, because Christ in his own body opened the way to the Father for you, for me, for all who call on his name. Jesus continues, John chapter 14, verse 7. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus is expounding upon what he'd said. If you really knew me, that word knew, to know, means to know from firsthand experience. If the disciples had really come to know Jesus from what they experienced with him, they would really know who Jesus truly is. And you would know that too. These times the disciples have shared with him the past years. Their personal experiences with Jesus are in reality personal experiences with the Father too. Let that sink in. What the disciples experienced over those 3.5 years with Jesus were experiences with the Father too. Philip said, Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough. Jesus, show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. 3+ years of hearing Jesus teaching, 3 years of seeing Jesus do wonder after wonder, signs so magnificent that no one has ever done such things before, all of that to no avail? John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been amongst you such a long time, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? All this time, the disciples with Jesus, Jesus has been revealing the Father. All that Jesus has said, all that Jesus has done, was to reveal the Father to them. The Father to them. All they saw in Jesus is in the Father. They are one. The words, the works, the signs, the wonders, all those things are the Father's works done through Jesus. If you can't believe the words, Jesus says, at least believe the evidence of the works, the signs, the wonders, all you've experienced. Believe them. John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He'll do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Doing greater things, asking in Jesus' name. Please note that these greater things and asking in Jesus' name, they're for the purpose of bringing glory to the Father. Asking in Jesus' name, that is why it's essential to pray in Jesus' name, to make that verbal connection that those who may be hearing you pray can have no question as to whom you are praying to, in whose name you are praying, so that when the prayer is answered, the Son brings glory to the Father. John chapter 14, verse 14, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This verse is often misused. That word anything gives the impression to go ahead and ask for, well, anything. But if you focus on the anything, the point of this verse is completely missed. The focus ought to be on in my name, the name of Jesus. Is your request, is your anything you're asking for worthy of the name of Jesus? Will your prayer bring glory to the Father? Yes, pray big, audacious prayers. Pray for the greater things too, to glorify the Father through the Son. This brings us back to John chapter 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also me. It comes back to trust. Have faith. Believe. Are you fully persuaded that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Do these words of Jesus have a place to reside in you, to bring that peace that only Christ can give? Do you really understand that in Christ, you are truly forgiven and given eternal life, just as He's promised? This is why I really enjoy hearing about missionaries, reading their lives of the past, learning from people that trusted, had faith, believed in such a manner that they gave all to follow Jesus. As they followed, they took Jesus at His word in a manner we seldom take Jesus at His word these days. 6 years ago, can you believe it? It was 6 years ago. I had to look it up to check it out. It was 6 years ago. Our Lenten journey was with missionaries. It was Lent 2014. Our Thursday nights were filled with accounts of missionaries. Hudson Taylor, Eric Liddell, Amy Carmichael, David Livingston, Jim Elliott, Gladys Aylward, and Samuel Morris. We heard of their lives to fill us and inspire us to live the faith. Christian faith with the desire to share Jesus Christ and to serve Him took them from one side of the world all the way over to the other side of the world. And this morning I'm pointing to the simple faith of Samuel Morris. Yes, Samuel Morris, as evidence the Lord is God. And the Father will see us through these times of certainty. Those who were here for us in Lent in 2014, do you remember Samuel Morris? Or perhaps do you remember his other name he was known as beforehand? Prince Kabu, the eldest son of a Crew chief. Samuel wanted to come to America to meet Stephen Merritt, to learn more about the Holy Ghost and a life that followed Jesus Christ. Samuel learned of Stephen Merritt from the missionary who told Samuel that Stephen Merritt taught her about the Holy Ghost. She had taught Samuel all she knew, so Samuel said he would go to Stephen Merritt to learn more. With no money for passage, just a trust in his Father in heaven, Samuel made it to New York, and on the ship in which he worked was forever changed by Samuel's faith. In New York, a place of a million so people, Samuel was led to a beggar who knew Stephen Merritt. And Stephen Merritt, that mighty hand of God, was guiding Samuel Morris right to Stephen Merritt's mission, the power of God. Samuel Morris, if you read about his life, he had what Peter describes in our first lesson this morning from 1 Peter chapter 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Samuel had tasted the Lord is good, and he craved to know more. He craved that pure spiritual milk to grow in faith, to be able to tell others about Jesus and the Father, and Samuel knew he needed the Holy Spirit to do so. Being brought out of the darkness into the wonderful light, Samuel had to declare the praises of God. And with a simple faith, trusting his father, a young man from suffering in danger in the jungle of Africa, facing many hardships, crossed the ocean and reached Fort Wayne, Indiana. Likewise, the Lord can see you through these times too. The same way Samuel Morris overcame each difficult, you can overcome them too. Samuel trusted his father, and you can too. And this is what John chapter 14, verse 1 means. To trust, have faith, believe in God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe, that is, Jesus means. Believing Jesus, trusting Jesus, having faith in Jesus means to hold on to and believe all of those promises too. Samuel did. Samuel Morris did. And you can too. Forgiveness of sin, redeeming mercy and grace, a new heart, a new life. The Father will take care of these things. Have a living faith in the midst of these uncertainties and unknowns of what is to be these days and weeks ahead. Trust, have faith, believe in God. Trust, have faith, believe in Jesus. Amen and amen. Please join in singing.